And welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, dear listeners, welcome to today's session of the Home Run here with me, Dwight. And as what we always do, we get involved in terms of the ongoing discussions that we always bring a magnifying glass to, or glass along, because we obviously have to magnify on the discussion for each and every session. For today's session specifically, concentrating on a notion in terms of the climate change discussion. Now, the climate change discussion is pretty broad in its announcement overall. But if we have to narrow it down, the world faces an unprecedented daunting task of combating or at least trying to reverse the impacts that climate change is going to have on the world's ecosystems, as well as also its diverse human populations that occupy it. Now, this specific notion does pose a daunting prospect of what future our future generations are expected to inherit. Because we've got to think about this. All these endeavors are for one clear directive, so that the planet, as we know it, the Namibia, as you know it, the environment, as you know it, the ecosystems, the ecological hubs, shall I rather say, obviously making use of loose terms, but all that should still be maintained, should still be protected, should still be kept in such a good standard that future generations, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and a generation, in terms of basic measurements, is always denoted by 25 years at least, meaning that the children that are born today or in this year of 2023 have to see the same Namibia, give or take a few developments, obviously, 25 years from now, when they are 25. Now, I know thinking that far for each one of us is in itself, it's ambiguous. It's unclear. It's a notion of sketching a picture where you don't know what's going to happen. However, for today's program, we will have a on-air guest. Yes, telephonically joining us will be the spokesperson from the Environmental Investment Fund himself. But before we get there, dear listeners, there's a key thing that we've got to take a look at. Now, from Namibia's side, we face the prospect of the country's conditions potentially worsening. This is true. Potentially worsening, either through increased heat levels or diminishing rainfall. Now, you just have to think and you just have to imagine worst case scenarios. I'm not asking you to be I'm not going to play the doomsday prophet, but I'm also not asking you for your, imagination to run wild, because the notion of this scenario, just thinking about it, is you've got to look at what happens to agricultural sector where we've got so many subsistence farmers or so many communal stakeholders based in these areas participating. You've got to look at Namibia's tourism. You've got to look at livestock farmers on the other end. You've got to look at conflicts coming about between farmers and the various game or, let's say, wildlife populations in the country on a specific territory. And you've got to factor in the scenario that Namibia is one of a few countries, or ultimately on the continent, the only country with two deserts in its borders. I know. I will always mention that because we've got to identify how unique Namibia is. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's a scenario looking at the unique challenges, how we face it, how we deal with it, as well as also what have been the foundational behind-the-scenes workings. Obviously, that contribution will come through from our on-air guest over a short while from now. Because I myself, we've got to get to that specific point where he'll be able to contribute and provide the insights. Now, there is, or for the past 11 years, in terms of its existence, the Environmental Investment Fund have been doing, they have been participating in various projects and in various initiatives in order to prepare Namibia. You can't say for the worst case scenario, because we don't know what the worst case scenario looks like. All we see is just weather patterns, occurring all across the world. Now, with that specific notion, a few things to share with. Now, I'm going to start with a good point that actually comes from a climate risk country profile scenario from the World Bank, but I'll only highlight specific points from it. The reason for this is that we've got to look at the scenario in terms of, well, there's always an economic flavor to anything that you look at in modern day society. Now, this specific scenario is that climate change, as we all know, is a major risk to good developed outcomes. And specifically, the World Bank themselves noted that they've got to be committed to playing an important role in helping countries integrate climate action programs into core development agendas. Now, core development agendas, it means that you should not just decide, okay, development should run without at least having an idea or having a scenario or having the ability to factor in not just, the role that your economy or that your society or that your socioeconomic projects and developments and population demographics play within that specific country, not just that they should operate in isolations, distracted or either divorced from the overall climate discussion. Also not to say as that since we were not the ones causing it, because we also have to identify the blame. We also have to identify those that are to blame literally for the climate scenario that we find ourselves. And it has been identified. I actually have a nice little research paper here that I'd like to share over some of the details after the talk with the EIF spokesperson, that being Mr. Lawton Damanomahata, in terms of where he will, dissect with us, what has been happening for the past 11 years up to this point. Now, I want to share some good point. I want to share some key things in terms of looking at. So for Namibia's role, and this is where our discussion will most probably, in most part, be cornered on or be based upon, has been the strategic focus areas, because you've got to have strategies. Now, extracting from what the World Bank notes is that you cannot have development divorced from any sustainable climate mitigation programs or climate action programs, I'd rather say climate action programs, because we live in one planet, one Namibia, one continent. And even with all the other developments taking place, with the continent trying to look at each other in terms of internally to try and boost trade internally, we don't have to look far, the AFCTA agreement, because these specific mechanisms are there to help with the development aspect. You see, you can't just have development in your own section or your own neighborhood. Development is looked at, okay, as broadly as possible to include as many people as possible. So while we are trying to have our own scenario in terms of climate action projects, climate action initiatives, sustainable projects that aimed to, assist tourism in one end, assist with natural resource management in one end, assist with how we deal with our very, very, very scarce freshwater sources. Yes, we've got to take note of that scenario as well, because freshwater is the make or break resource in the world for human populations to survive. We can't live off seawater. The unfortunate scenario is if you speak to any hydrologist or any specialist in the water study field, they'll tell you no human can, consume seawater for too long. That's now if your question was all about, what about tapping into seawater? I'm stopping that right there because it's a bit of a stretch too far. We haven't evolved that far yet. Now, some of the key things is that the World Bank has their own action plan on adaptation and resilience, something that they launched in 2019. Now, this specific country, this country specific profile with regards to this climate discussion is something that the World Bank brought out in 2021. Yeah, they developed it for most countries. Let's point it out like that so that you and I, we understand, okay, so it's not just Namibia, it's around the world. So it's country-specific, a profile, because each country, we might have shared issues between, let's say, for example, Namibia and Botswana, because the Kalahari Desert does flow over, you know, the Namibia-Botswana border into Namibia. But it's also a notion of understanding the ecosystems, the ecological diversity that are found within those ecosystems, the game, the wildlife animals that sometimes do move across the border scenario in terms of, because they know these are the areas that they call home and they need to stay there. It's also a notion of how it impacts, especially an important sector like the tourism sector. But I'm not going to go into the tourism sector on that note. Now, just over the next 2 minutes, we will quickly be stepping into a short ad break, and then we'll be getting our on-air guest connected in terms of continuing with the discussion and how we will be progressing with regards to what is in store, what has been done in terms of what the EIF has been preparing Namibia for, as well as also been involved in to get Namibians involved in the aspect of climate action. We'll be back right after the short break.
Hello, Namibia. Indira pamanate muyuni walela pe. Lela pe onkaro ompu wa mafutiro no kusisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongondi hoka tevuru okutuminako omatumaraka goe agehe na ngoka go paipindi no taga dhanwa no kutuwa mombepo esimbo ojo tuunjoka. Otovuru okuninga shike ko lela pe. Otovuru okutura omatumaraka goe mombepo torongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka lela pe. Nenge utire moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya wedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutiro goe. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goe giinima ya yoroka. Ngashi, omatumaraka goru kozi, omatumaraka goma hiyo, omatumaraka goma harero ya mbeko goma baro, na omatumaraka goma rukehe nguka wahara uteithire oshiwana ashikesho Monamibia, okuza warapo doranda tu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lela Pay oharongo ngini. Konga oka epa ko Lela Pay ko Play Store nenge ko App Store eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o account ae oshari eto turamo omaothemba goe. Inda ko kanjato ko eki mariwa eto turako oshimariwa to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhite. Shampa wa mana oku turamo omaothemba goe. Hogoro akucha wahara okurungitha ehangano nenge o vendaini o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe eto simdimpoka pashangwa sen utume. Shamba watumo etumaraka joe otari turwa ko Eagle FM imba lela pei nenge ko The Villager. Ona ishe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inimawe ko digital etomalaite.com notai urikwa
neenderero. Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now we come back in terms of, just with regards to slight technical difficulties in trying to connect our on-air guest, but we'll still get him throughout the course of the day. However, let's take a look at the scenario of what the strategic action plans or focus areas that the Environment Investment Fund look at. So just identifying the key ones, natural resource management and utilization. Then you've got green climate technologies, low carbon and climate change initiatives. Thirdly, you've got tourism and development, which we all know does form part of the broader discussion in terms of how, well, if climate or the ecosystems, the nature or the natural resources in our broader Namibian society or broader Namibian landscape is impacted, what happens to a sector that is directly involved with this scenario? straight from that aspect, then you've got to look at the research, training, and capacity building aspect. Now, the key things that we've got to look at is specifically how certain mechanisms play vital roles. There's one key one that, besides the notion of what the World Bank pointed out with regards to Namibia's profile, is besides the adaptation, besides the aspects of, you know, the physical features, we've got to look at the role, you know, the significant parts of how Namibia does aim to participate overall, because obviously you've got to remember we are being measured in terms of, you know, what impacts do take place, especially when the Northern Hemisphere or the developed countries produce their own or participate in the furthering specifically of the climate change, as well as also the global warming discussion. Now, in terms of the specific, there's a specific ranking in terms of the ND gain index that ranks 181 countries using a score which calculates a country's vulnerability to climate change and other global challenges, as well as also the readiness to improve resilience. It's a scenario that this index aims to help businesses. It's not just all about helping governments. It's also about helping businesses and then also the public sector, which does represent government, in better identifying vulnerability and thus also identifying readiness aspects to look at in order to better prioritize investments for more efficient responses to global changes. Now, before we continue, we'll quickly be back right after the short break that's creeping up on us.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Mona asa tracking otuna omaya kurodhingi mokutura mo u tracking device mi and itho marudhaga khe gamena okadanki bots wanako eko ngangara otatu kupe uyerere keneto vuru okurandura oshendito shoe okuza mo mtumba sigo mpoka shiri pethimbo jomo njira torongitha shiki ongodhi weyo peke ana farama ana ngeshefa oshowo ana magumbo endereni pamwe nethimbo mokutonatira omaliko goye okuza kongodhi yo peke. Mona asset tracking otekutuliremo uthano wo 4G wo ponje uthano mboka ka unonjironde ohaurongo konkondo detango haurongo ethimbo kehe nomonkalo ombepo kehe kohambo nokofarama kwaningi kopepe. Otatu adhika po matungiro gomalaiti gatalerathana nombirwa yondangwa Eben constituency kuyerere dengerane na konra ketatu yimwe mbali heali ndatu hamano mbali mbali. Mona asset tracking, if it moves, we can track it.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, in terms of still the gremlins, in terms of providing their own little difficulties in terms of the technical aspects. We still stay on the notion in terms of, you know, some of the development aspects that the World Bank looks at. Now, as mentioned, the notion of the measurements has to look at the prioritization of investment for more efficient responses to global challenges. Now, they weighed up the aspect that due to a combination of political, geographic and social factors, Namibia is recognized as being vulnerable to climate change impacts, ranked 104 out of the 181 countries in the 2020 ND Gain Index. Now, that ND Gain Index is mentioned, guys, or takes a look at the vulnerability aspect to climate change and other global challenges that a country potentially does or will face. Now, the more vulnerable a country is, the lower their score, while the more readily a country is to improve its resilience, the higher it will be. For example, out of that entire score, Norway is ranked number one with the highest score so far. And this key thing is that it's all based upon the aspects in terms of where's Namibia's progress stood through up to 2018 specifically. Now we've got to look at a handful of scenarios. And specifically, this is obviously the key aspects where we've got to look at. Now, some of the strategic areas, for example, like community-based natural resource management that the EIF does focus on, but we're not speaking in terms of that scenario, but community-based natural resource management is a mechanism. It's one of these mechanisms that aim to provide the readiness component for society. Now, on that scenario, we will, you know, explore. Take a look at CBNRM, which is its acronym, as well as also another adaptative aspect in order for the discussion of one of the other mechanisms that will take place. Now, if we look at the function like these mechanisms, you get to see how they actually play a role. Because these are the mechanisms that are being employed, and these are the mechanisms that are being made use of. There are a whole host of other mechanisms. For example, the further training, the scholarly support, or let's say the investments in tertiary education or research for that matter, that is being explored in terms of where Namibians pick it up and then can ultimately reinvest that knowledge back into the broader Namibian sector. But that it also helps with the continued readiness strategy that needs to take place. So, when we look at one of the key or one of the first mechanisms to make use of, CBNRM is, well, as it is in terms of its name, community-based natural resource management, is a people-centered approach that aims to provide integration of conservation of natural resources or a natural resource base. And a natural resource base consists out of things like water, soil, trees, and local biodiversity elements. And that it's also driven or, you know, sort of like made use of in terms of providing development to overcome poverty, hunger, and disease. Now, you don't have to look very far in terms of some of the key aspects, for example, like the discussion of last Monday where we had the Ministry of Agriculture's spokesperson, Mr. Jonah Mosheko here, who provided some insights in terms of the broad range or the broad array of projects that they themselves are involved with. However, those projects also have overlapping as well as also impacts in terms of how Namibians get to see the preparations take place. Because, as I mentioned, one of the key sources or the key resources that we're looking forward to is fresh water. Is, for example, to ensure that you can see, okay, if rainfall comes, I can still have crops to cultivate or to grow. To look at scenarios of, by, for example, you know, living or, you know, making use of the natural resources that you find in your immediate community. Because, let's for example say, the same fresh water hole that wildlife animals drink from, you might also need, or to gain access to same said freshwater resource. And it's a question of balancing this. Now, we as humans, yes, we as humans, we treat the physical environment as part of the community. This is obviously the whole ethos and the philosophy under the community-based natural resource management discussion, because you've got to see how you as the human fit into that specific scenario, how you fit into the equation. What value does the equation bring out of it? Or what does your inclusion into the equation, you know, what does that picture generate? Or how different does that picture look like? Are you there to extract more and thus not sustainably work with the resources that were left in your stead? I'm not talking about all of us as humans, because not about any single person or any single country or any single specific group of people, because you've just got to look at Namibia's specific characteristics. Now, with that specific ethos, with that specific philosophy in terms of the community-based natural resource management perspective, the notion is also to see how a community forms part or does or is considered part of the landscape, for example, the natural setting. Now, in better parts, you do get notions or terminologies like community-based conservancy areas or conservation or resource management like what we have here, or aspects even extending it even further, like ancestral land and all those kinds of discussions, because it is all about resources, and resources actually do, and they do translate and thus also reflect not just what is above the ground, but also what is walking on it or moving on it or growing on it or is embedded within it. For example, like underwater fresh, underground freshwater sources and the likes. But on that notion, we're quickly going to take a short break that's creeping up on me, and then we're going to come back heading into the rest of our program. Stay tuned here on your number one talk radio station on Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, coming back from our abrupt break right there, as well as also joining me on air is the Environmental Investment Fund's spokesperson, Mr. Lot Ndamonomata. Lot, I know, I myself am at fault in cases, but welcome and thank you for taking the time to join us here on air in terms of taking a look at, you know, what the EIF has been busy with in helping Namibia be prepared in terms of the broader climate change discussion.
Dwight, thank you very much for the opportunity. We are indeed honored to be here. We do apologize that we are a bit delayed as we are finalizing some other functions. And yeah, but it's indeed an honor and a pleasure for us to be able to share some of those activities that we've been up to over the last 11 years.
Exactly, exactly. Now, let's not waste much time, but let's delve directly into, you know, what the past 11 years have looked like. Because in better part, we as Namibians, we only hear about the climate change and climate action and adaptability, resilience. You know, all these terminologies are being flouted around, but for the man on the street, for the man and the woman out in the rural areas, for the farmer, you know, all those various stakeholders in the country, what specifically can we look forward to in terms of, you know, what have been the developments that your organization, EIFF, have been part and parcel of to try and help Namibians look forward to potentially a brighter future, because no one controls the weather or the climate, and ultimately also to be prepared in that regard?
Well, I think in short, basically, and to be straight to the point, is that I think one has to understand what the role of the Environmental Fund is. Mm. And one of those key mandate of the EIF is basically to play a role in ensuring that there is a sustainable utilization of natural resources and try to also attain fair and equitable sharing of benefits of all benefits that arise as a result out of those natural resources. So basically ensuring that all Namibians, regardless of where they find themselves, be able to benefit from the resources that we have in this country. And definitely there are a number of interventions that we have done. For one, we have been able to mobilize up to date. We're talking about around about 3 billion Namibian dollars that's coming from multilateral and developmental institutional partners who we share a common area of interest. Also, look at one of the institutions that we have been highly having a very good relationship is that what we call the Green Climate Fund, which Namibia is a party to, and the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism is the one that is a national designated authority. In a sense, what national designated authority means is that they are the ones that are officially a member on behalf of the state of the Republic of Namibia. And then the Environmental Investment Fund, which is a state-owned enterprise, which masters in blended financing, then is the instrument that the government and the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, and in particular also the Ministry of Finance, then uses to mobilize those fundings so that they can be able to fund in activities which are geared towards addressing the issues of climate change, which are geared towards climate mitigation, also geared towards of ensuring issues of environmental sustainability, and also just, investment in water infrastructure, investment in cultural opportunities, and then the list is quite endless. So, but those are basically in a nutshell one of our mandate that we are responsible for as the Environmental Investment Fund of Namibia.
Exactly. Now, Lot, the notion is obviously it's a broad-based challenge. I mean, it's so big that you can't just go and focus on one specific thing. And some of the key aspects that you guys have also looked at is the benefit, the direct benefit that people can derive. For example, the 230,000 people that benefited from livelihood diversification. What, if you can break it down for us, how long did that process take, for example? And is it still an ongoing process? Because there's obviously no time limit, no deadline to say, okay, listen, climate change has passed us by. We don't have to worry about it, or we are still, it's still coming tomorrow and there's no definite timeline on it because it's an ongoing scenario. It's an ongoing threat that the whole world technically faces.
I don't know. I think you couldn't have said it any better. I think there's no timeline on the issue of climate change. We're still obviously below the target lines that we want to meet in terms of carbon emissions on a yearly basis, as we're talking about it, each and every different conference of parties when it comes to issues of climate change. That's why on a yearly basis, you hear there's COP 27, there's COP 28 also. Parties generally meet once in every year so they can set big target to be able to attain the number of carbon emissions that you want to. But obviously, as a world, we have not been able to attain that. But the 238,000, for instance, for people who have benefited from livelihood diversification, for instance, it's not a fixed number because it's ongoing. Like, for instance, we are reporting this has been a period over 11 years. We would obviously have liked to do more so that, you improve the livelihood of the people. For instance, when you invest in water infrastructure, for instance, in a specific constituency or a specific area, when you diversify their livelihood, you are talking about, in a sense, that, for instance, if you put up a water infrastructure, it means people have got access to potable drinking water. And once they have access to potable drinking water, you also have the possibility now, if resources prevail, you can also then, for instance, put up water drinking trenches for, be it for wildlife animals or even be it for livestock. Livestock have access to water, so people have also an opportunity possibly to also use that water infrastructure they put also to be able to set up community gardens and do all sorts of activities that they can also be able to be beneficial. So it's an ongoing activity. It doesn't end here, and we are hoping definitely that we can be able to impact more people as the time goes. But obviously, it's also dependent on the issue of resource mobilization. And for instance, one of the attainments that we are really proud is the issue of access to water that we keep talking about in this country. Not so you will see, I'm sure maybe a month from now, what the local newspapers or local media outlets such as yourself will probably discover a story that somewhere in a specific region, there's a constituency where people are working 12 kilometers in an independent Namibia. Obviously, one would have liked more to address those. The fact that we can be able to, over the last 11 years, to retrofit over 169 boreholes, so that 77,000 Namibians gave access to potable drinking water. So us, we are really proud of those achievements, because it's a collective achievement for government as a whole, and EIF is mainly an instrument because we are working to try to meet, to carry out those activities of government. Because you see that even if it's a climate change related issue, it's also an issue that's related to government intervention in terms of water, through the issue of agriculture, water and reform. So definitely we are addressing the issues of government from different points of view. So there's some of the achievements that we are proud of, and the fact that you are able also to disperse grants, over 258 grants, for instance, to community-based organizations and individual-based organizations and individuals-based grants at a value of more than 580 million. These are milestones, and also the fact that you are able to train women, over 25 women truck operators, in, for instance, the Kavango East, Kavango West, and Zambezi region, that can be able to take part in reaping services. You're also empowering women to go into areas which in the past was not seen as to be an area in which women are likely to operate.
Exactly, Lot. Now, Lot, there's one of the key important strategies or the strategic focus areas that the EIFF looks at. And this is an interesting one that actually caught my eye in terms of community-based natural resource management. How important has this focus? I know it's technically number two in terms of the first strategic focus area, the one about natural resource management and utilization. But it's such a profound focus point, because in every way you have got to look at it, you find a community at the center, or at least participating, or at least either, you know, being in a participatory role, one or other function in the broader Namibian, whether it be out in a rural area or out in even in an urban area. How key is that specific function been in terms of looking at Namibia's own role in climate change and how it aims to mitigate it?
No, thank you for the question, especially the issue of the CBR and community-based natural resources management that it was that we have addressed under what we call the EDA project. Mm-hmm. The EDA project, what we call Enhanced Direct Access, this is a project that basically focuses on community-based natural resource management. For instance, let's say community forests, we're talking about conservancies, you know, community-based organizations, you know. These interventions, for instance, have what we call the EDA project, as I mentioned. So the EDA project that we got funded from the Green Climate Fund, for example, to the tune of 130 million Namibian dollars, was earmarked as seeing how can we ensure that community-based entities are actually benefiting from the natural resources that are within their own terrain, for instance. Now, I'll give an example. There is a community in Soresores, for instance, what we call Soresores Conservancy. Now, Soresores Conservancy, of some of the earlier interventions, this was not done by the Environmental Investment Fund. That's why I say the interventions of government are cross-sectoral, in a sense that they are not only done by one entity. Yeah. For instance, what we call Soresores Lodge, which they are managing with an independent partner who is leasing the facility, the lodge, for a specific period of time, but it belongs to the conservancy. Now, obviously, the conservancy is now remunerated in that aspect by owning that lodge from the operator that is managing this top-notch lodge that it appeals to a specific clientele. What the EIF did, for instance, when they provided funding to the Soresores Conservancy, building already on the intervention that the Soresores Conservancy has done, was to facilitate in the procurement of 1,216 solar panels that were meant for the conservancy to support the activities of the lodge, obviously. Now, in the past, the conservancy had spent thousands and thousands of dollars because they were operating on diesel. Yeah. Now, by cutting out the diesel, it means you are reducing carbon emissions, obviously, although Namibians' carbon emissions are barely make any contribution
to the overall climate change discussion. Yeah,
it's the overall climate change issue, but obviously you take away that thing, because now it means that revenue that the community was using to buy diesel to support those activities, for instance, now it is supplemented by the fact that they've got renewable and green energy that they can be able to use again to sell to the seller who's managing the lodge that they're already generating in income, which means they are double dipping in terms of revenue, having an opportunity now to actually grow the revenue base of that conservancy. Mm. And while using that revenue base of that conservancy, it provides an opportunity to also be able to afford voice and revenue to afford scholarships for their own beneficiaries who are living in that area, so that they can be able to attend the various universities, be it the Namibia University of Science and Technology, or be it the University of Namibia, or be it the International University of Management, etc. So we are building, adding value to communities so that they can be able to better themselves. So definitely one of the interventions is definitely about empowering communities, because when you empower a community, you're hoping larger, more people are actually being able to benefit in the large context and the large setup overall.
Exactly. Now, Lot, one of the key things also about the strategic focus areas is we've got to generate our own research. We've got to do our own research. We've got to develop our own knowledge base. We've got to, because it's actually the strategic focus area number 4 about research, training, and capacity building. How important is it for us to own our own knowledge, our own research with regards to the challenges Namibians face, Namibian farmers or Namibian tour operators, or even like you mentioned now, conservancy areas in that regard? And the notion of us obviously owning that research, how important has that been? And has there been any challenges in terms of, you know, kickstarting it and seeing how we can actually update it every year at least?
No, I think any interventions that the Environmental Investment Fund ought to make, or government ought to make in any circumstance, especially trying to improve the livelihoods of their people, should be knowledge-based, should be information-based, should be standard-based. And that's why, for instance, we are saying that of all the interventions that the Environmental Investment does, it's based on what we call the Namibian National Determined Contributions. These determined contributions dictate the priority areas for the government when it comes to this environmental sector or climate change interventions. And this is around the area in which all our interventions are crafted, especially when we are sourcing for international resource or resource mobilization to be able to make impactful and meaningful change in the lives of people. So it's very, very important in a sense. Already at that kind of level, the fact that we come from a knowledge point of view when we are going outside to say, these are the circumstances that we find in our country. Mm. These are the issues we address. This is on the basis in which we are writing this proposal so that we can try and source funding. So definitely we are coming from that point of view. We do ensure that we make decisions which are coming from an informed point of view and coming from a research-based point of view, so that, because we just don't want to go to international donors or international partners and say, I think we have a problem here, this is how we might address it, and simply just throw a figure for the sake of throwing it. So it is very, very, very much important. So our interventions have also been drawn to that. And also what we have also started to do is that one of the components that are also in the various programs that we have is what we call knowledge management and lessons learned. Mm. And now how this important to research is the fact that once you have implemented a specific project, you would also want to draw lessons learned and best practices, so that also when moving forward, if you get to do other interventions, so you also want to be capacitated and to be better informed and better positioned, so that when you implement the next project, you don't necessarily repeat some of the challenges that you might have experienced, but be empowered in the sense that you are likely to make better decisions, the communities are likely to be better informed, and, you know, just as a whole sector, you are likely to be more aware, mm. and you are likely to learn more as to how best to be able to implement new projects as a point of departure moving forward.
Exactly. Now, Lot, before we conclude, there's one key thing that has actually been drawing my eye in terms of the notion of sustainable waste management, which is also one of the focus, strategic focus areas. I mean, not in a lot of discussions that I've heard, looked at myself in terms of, you know, the overall climate change discussion with regards to waste management or the sustainability component of it, is because part and parcel, you only hear that discussion taking place in most parts outside of Namibia. But in Namibia, do we have such a platform where there is, you know, various projects in place already that look at sustainable waste management or waste management that leads to a sustainable process for that matter? Because ultimately, a lot of the visitors to Namibia have said, oh, wow, your country is so clean. Your country is so beautiful. It's not like most other, in terms of comparison with other African countries or even with other countries across the world itself. The waste management scenario, how does that, just sketch it for us. How does it work and what does it aim to look at?
Well, I think with regards to the issue of waste management, there are discussions already, I can tell you. For instance, one of the interventions, for instance, the government has done was the issue of the introduction of plastic levies, but obviously to curb wastage and damage the environment.
Mm.
Now, obviously, other African countries, some of them have totally done a complete, for instance, plastic ban completely. And for instance, if you look at countries like Kenya, they're moving towards that complete plastic ban. But obviously, we're also seeing that there might be elements of those plastic productions which are crucial in our country, that obviously, if you stop them completely, that also affects the issue of job creation and also revenue generation for the state.
Mm.
But the conversation of waste management, especially for instance, when it comes to issues of landfills or, you know, for instance, at the various municipalities within the country, there is what we call also the government is trying to move forward consolidating the national solid waste management policy so that once National Solid Waste Management Policy is finalized and is also then inducted to stakeholders. It's also shared with the different local authorities. It's also shared with all the various stakeholders and have made input. It's a point of departure so that the country can also be able to move forward. But also in addition, again, the Environmental Investment Fund is in the process of actually finalizing a green credit line facility, which will also then also allow opportunities for those that might have interventions or are interested in investing in such opportunities as waste management, recyclable management, in obviously the renewable energy sector, who can be able to invest in such, who can be able to source funding, for instance, from that facility so that they can be financed to enjoy in those activities.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime last year, we gave, we gave funding to a gentleman who was involved in the sector in the sense that he was turning plastic, you know, bricks, making bricks out of plastic in the upper region. So we funded him with a seed grant so that we wanted to capacitate him with an opportunity to come up with a formidable business plan so that he also, he can also try and generate an income and a livelihood from that platform, not necessarily just be innovative about coming up with a way of how to make bricks coming from waste, but also try to possibly generate a business that can also lead to the employment of other people, and also try and create also to change livelihoods, to also manage the issue of waste. So definitely we need, once that process is also finalized in terms of the whole policy national wide, and as a country as a whole, this issue will also be workshopped. Stakeholders will be consulted so that once it's finalized, then we can also be able to make these interventions. Because we also yearn for an opportunity where we get to see that local authorities, especially when it comes to the landfills that they have in their various towns, are well managed. For instance, you need to educate people. For instance, if you have got four pocket dustbins that say this is glass, this is plastic, this is paper, this is what, so that, you know, it's also properly managed. And in addition to that, most people, when they see these interventions, they say, okay, we have maybe one funding only strictly maybe to go set up a landfill, but it goes beyond funding to actually have a landfill. The question that would also be encouraging and also seeing what Namibians should be having is the issue of how do you make money from the issue of waste? It's a sector which is untapped, which has not yet, many Namibians have not ventured into. But, you know, you can also possibly be able to draw money. How do, for instance, maybe set up centers that, for instance, say, my specialty, for instance, as Dwight, maybe, is about collecting plastic. I know, for instance, every day I'm expected to collect, every month I'm expected to collect 5,000 tons of glass or plastic. And then once that I know where I need to drop it off, it gets weighted at a specific another service provider, maybe that might be Lot, and then Lot also pays you. So you create some sort of value chain. So we don't necessarily also just want to create an investment that's once off. You'd also necessarily want to tailor-make the industry so that it can create jobs, it can also improve livelihoods, and it also can also be able to create wealth for Namibians. So that, you know, in the long run, it's not just about investing maybe in one facility where someone just makes money for collecting revenue, but to create some sort of value chain so that, you know, they value addition is added, and then money is generated. You create entrepreneurs that are in the renewable sector or they're in the waste sector. But I think as time goes on, definitively, and we'll also elaborate more once the green credit facility is up and running, because these are some of the areas of focus that facility will also be concentrating on, hoping to empower those that want to take up that kind of space. So definitely there is untapped potential in that area. You're very much right. And I'm hoping that move forward both even local authorities and people in their own personal capacities, and also expertise who are in the environmental sector, can be able to come up with proposals so that we can see how we can best be able to generate revenue. But discussions around, especially at this time, around issues of plastic bans and all those things, it's not a conversation that Namibia has yet come to say that this is a position that we want to have.
Yeah.
Because of there's also revenue, there's also opportunities that you can also be able to make from this sector. So I think you have to consider all things, you know. For instance, the world is moving, is changing, but how do you realign yourself as a country to ensure that you get to benefit? It's like talking about, for instance, the discovery of oil in Namibia and also the issue of green hydrogen.
Mm.
Namibia should be able, for instance, to say, let's reposition ourselves to try and to see how we can be able to best benefit from the resources that we have. Because, for instance, you know, you're asking about the issue of climate change, and perhaps maybe forgive me if I'm going a little bit off topic, but for instance, after time when we're having, especially over the last two COPs that we've had discussions about, you know, migrating to green energy, you know, talking about cleaner energy. But you know what we have seen is that the developing world right now, after energy crisis, have gone back to coal. So they are talking about, yeah, no, this is not a discussion worth having, because this discussion is about their national security.
Mm.
Namibians start having a discussion, say, about how do we best try to ensure environmental sustainability and benefiting from our own resources, but also not necessarily just benefit from our own resources, but also how do we do it safely to ensure that we also protect our environment, but mostly and most importantly is trying to ensure that how do we ensure that Namibians get to benefit from their own, from their resources. And that is, I think, definitively what we want to do at the Environmental Investment Fund. Do it in a way that is sustainable, and also just ensuring that everyone at almost every corner point in Namibia gets to benefit. And I think I can confidently say that there isn't any region in this country that has benefited from our interventions.
Mm.
And for our last programs that we have had, for instance, it was Build Back Better. It was definitely about the issue of urban agriculture, where we have empowered over 57 individuals with various interventions, ensuring that, you know, urban agriculture takes center stage so that we encourage our people to be able to grow their own food.
Mm.
It's dangerous, especially when a nation, for instance, isn't able to be agricultural sustainable in that sense. If you keep importing your food, most people in most nations, for instance, if you look at Sri Lanka has had problems. People are having problems, not because maybe besides the cost of living that has gone up, but they had problems because the basics that they are is involved in their daily lives, it was outside their control, because majority of they have to import fuel, they have to import food. So if you have to import food, it means people won't be able to survive. And if people are not food secure, nothing else can be secure in the whole nation. So that's some of the small interventions that we definitely are making to meet the overall objective of government.
Exactly. A lot. And just in terms of, I know, you know, our conclusion has now slightly crept up on us, but if there's still something that you wanted to share with our listeners with regards to what to look forward to in terms of 2023 and ahead, because as you and I have already agreed that climate change is not something that has a definite time limit or is stopping tomorrow or is still coming, and we know when the time limit is. It's something that's continuously happening all along. So in a short summary or in a short nutshell, what can we look forward to in terms of developments that we need to keep our eyes on with regards to Namibia's own mitigation strategy for the road ahead?
Well, I think our interventions in a nutshell will be influenced by, dictated by the national determined contributions, as I earlier mentioned. But from the Environmental Investment Fund of Namibia, we continue to be guided by government planning and moving forward. But also what is important is that what we are also drawing from lessons learned from all the activities that we've done. Like right now, we're busy compiling a lessons learned report from the Enhanced Direct Access Project. So it also influences our better planning for the future, so we know some of the interventions that we're able to make, or perhaps some of the gaps that we might have missed out.
Mm-hmm.
And also moving forward, the Environmental Investment Fund is looking at mobilizing more resources so that we can be able to come up with more interventions. So some of these lessons learned and best practices and knowledge management activities will also influence our way moving forward. But we are also hopeful that the green credit facility that I mentioned earlier will kickstart off in this current financial year, so that majority of Namibians can be able to access low financing funding, be it loans specifically that they want to be able to engage in the various sectors, especially of renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, and also just issues that are complementing environmental safety and also ensuring environmental sustainability. So those are some of the areas that we're really, really focusing in. This will be a new chapter for us, because we want to ensure that Namibians can be able to access funding especially at the low financing, you know, because most people are constrained by the issue. SMEs are always talking about, I can't go borrow at the bank. If I go borrow at the bank, the interest that they are likely to charge me is 16.57%. And, you know, the rate of paying that return, you know, it is not feasible for them, and the business ends up crashing. And you know, it's like as if there is a stifle towards employment creation or actually trying to create a conducive environment for SME. So we are looking towards this new product, and we are hoping that especially Namibians before the end of the year can really talk about the benefits of accessing this kind of facility that we are creating, so that more Namibians can be able to access to financing and actually improve livelihood and make impactful investment in the daily lives of the Namibians that we continue to serve.
Exactly. Lot, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us here on air, sharing those valuable insights in terms of the past 11 years worth of work that the EIF has been involved in. And ultimately, we have to schedule one more, you know, session somewhere in the future to unpack everything so far up and until then. But once again, Lot, thank you once again for taking the time to talk to us.
It's our pleasure, and we are ready to serve. And we, once time allows, we definitely are always available.
Thanks a lot, Lot. Thanks for coming through.
Bye.
Now, that does bring us close to the last 10 minutes of today's program here on your number one talk radio station. And this being the Home Run, ultimately your drive time program that puts a magnifying glass over the, you know, contemporary discussion points in everyday Namibia. Now, we've heard a lot. And some of the things are actually interconnected with various other global strategies that emanate and flow downwards into Namibia's own strategies on the ground. But some of the key things obviously do involve scenarios of sustainably managing the resources that we all have access to and all that most of us are dependent upon. And secondly, also a scenario of knowledge generation, the research, the information, as well as also tapping into research and information about us or areas that we find ourselves as a country in the future. Firstly, let me get the next caller or the first caller through on this last 9 minute segment.
Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Yes, great guys.
Cool on you, Amulema.
Good.
Yeah, well, you will have to keep it compact, eh? Start shooting.
Yeah. The gentleman, the problem, people from the government, they talk so nice, but they are just lying. Because the thing is, what they say is not what is happening on the ground. Remember, the idea was the plastic to phase out. It was not for us to pay $2 for the plastic. But now when we are paying, plastic are there permanently. So, what was in their heads when they say plastic should phase out, but now because they are benefiting from the money, because this money that we are paying for plastic, they are stealing it.
How so?
No, because this country has no money.
But so, here's the thing. When one of the first businesses, I think,
I think
it happened there at the coast in your area at Swakopmund or in Balfours. I mean,
nothing. There's nothing. He's lying. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing, because the reason was for the plastic to phase out. It was never for plastic to be sold for $2.
Not actually, Omulemba. Not actually.
Yes.
I can actually share with you into that regard, because I interviewed the businesses myself when in the print industry. So I asked the likes of like ShopRite, and it was, who was it? ShopRite, and there was another business that I interviewed.
Yes.
Back in 2018. I asked them, listen, what's the idea? What's the idea behind, or was it 2019? Either one of the two. What's the idea between, you know, behind charging? So firstly, it was born out of a tourism and a pollution discussion at Swakop. You know most, because it started in Swakop firstly.
I know everything.
Yeah. Now it's, the money technically goes back to the businesses, and the businesses decide what they do to that money. Because the second business that I interviewed about, that was, I think, Pupkovic Megabuild here in the capital. They had a nice fancy launch with the Minister Shifeta, and he was there in terms of, but it was tied, their own strategy was tied to one or other nature conservation project scenario. You know, the money they make from charging the customer is donated to a government initiative. So it's ultimately in the hands of the businesses.
No, what you see, Dwight, is that, look, the business owner go buy plastics for their customer.
Yeah.
The government force the business owner to sell the plastic to the customer. So that money is taken by the government and they are stealing it because they are, the government is just full of thieves. The problem of this government is that it does not matter the amount of money you give to them. Mm. They're going to steal the money. Mm. That's my problem. When you have a government evaluating a tender for car for Shapakanyama from 400 million to 1.5 billion, that's not a government. I'm telling you. Wait. Corruption is permanently entrenched. That's what I'm saying. It does not help. They charge us when you are going for fishing, they are charging you money. When you are going to Dun 7, they are charging you money.
Mm.
You see, plastic, they are charging you money. Richard, they are charging you money. Where is the money? They are stealing it.
Well,
criminals.
Well, it's one of the effective strategies in tax collection. There's nothing we can do. There's ultimately nothing we can do.
I told these people, and we are strong and very strong. Mm. The reason why the white community rejected the Namibia Economic Equitable Framework under the Ginkgo, it does not mean that the white people doesn't want to share. No. They say, how can we give money to a corrupt government?
No, I read the fears. It was the notion of the 25% handing over.
Very strange. Look, if the government was not corrupt, whites were willing to share, but they say, but I can... Even me, Dwight, I cannot give something to someone that's going to steal it. Under normal, whether I'm higher, whether I'm low, whether I'm down, whether I'm in the air, the moment I'm giving you and you are stealing, I won't give you. That's what I'm saying. It does not help how much money. Now, even remember, they were saying it was apartheid. During apartheid, people were used to go to places for free. Fish at the beach for free. Then now it's my government independence. Everywhere you go, and remember how bad you pay during your holidays. When you are at work, you must pay. When you are in holiday, you must pay. So the country cannot create a pressure anymore for conducive environment for you to be able to enjoy your own country. That's why I'm saying, look, that's like the beach and the seven. Some of us, these things are our reserve. They are our heritage.
Yeah.
It's things for fun. Why should I pay to go
stand on the beach and then just throw in a fish line?
You see, if I'm having 100% chance to come out of that beach, I'm going to that beach. I'm only coming with one fish. You see, some of these things are not fair. That is because we have a corrupt and greedy government that you must not underestimate their greediness because they only think about themselves. Yeah, let us ask them, will we charge $2 for FDMUDE, add $2 for recharge for VAT for drought in Kuneli?
Yeah.
The drought has disappeared. We are paying. No, we want plastic to phase out. Okay, it's fine. We were waiting. We were happy even when we were going to the shop. We were given some nice bed. Okay? Now I said, no. Plastic creates employment. Now our people are voting for us. They are complaining. Just charge them. Now, what's the problem? The same plastic that I'm going to pay to drive, I go throw it away. Do you want to tell me a plastic that was bought for $2 does not have the same poison as the plastic that was being given for free? You see the kind of mathematics. You see, well, it doesn't help anything. That's what I'm saying. This corrupt cabal of the government criminals, they're just looking for money. You see, they care about nature.
Yeah.
They don't care. Because the same plastic, the same one that was being given for free, and the same one that's being bought, the same plastic is being thrown away. Like me, I throw them away. But I buy them. So what does it do? It's not only me. Everywhere I work here, in Valakwizadmund, I see plastic.
Yeah.
Even if plastic has been bought.
Yeah.
The idea to say plastic must phase out was a good idea. But because we have these people that are just maximized with money, no wonder Kirisan said he was scared that when people gain independence, the liberator will turn out as politically elitist, driving around intended message vans are sleeping in palaces and gathering the riches. This is exactly what is happening.
Exactly. But Omulemba, we are running out of time. Can you quickly conclude?
No problem.
Thanks for coming, Zuma.
Tell them. A plastic that cost $2 and a plastic that was for free, they are all in the same prison.
Yeah.
Sir.
No problem. Thanks for coming through. Now, it does bring us up to the end of today's program. A little bit rushed. Well, you know, they are learning curves in terms of that. But ultimately, you can stay tuned and still catch me on either tomorrow morning or the early morning scoop, where we provide you with the first bulletin of the day program, as well as also in tomorrow's program of the Home Run later on, which will be the Wednesday edition of the same program. Now, alternatively, stay tuned for the rest of your programming to follow on after this ad break, and we'll see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow, alternatively, early on tomorrow morning.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% off its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
O Namibia Revenue Agency Paufupi Namra Oteitse Ithane Nyanyu Enene E Patururo Jita Imbedwa Yao Mondoropa Omthia Moshtopuro Shashkoto No Mopuo Moshtopuro Shakunin Momthia Namra Otadika Momatungo Gerero Jondorpa Yamthia No Mopuo Namra Okulima Matungoga Iambo Iambo Mipandanda Mumbiado Muharukwa Tarerapo Ita Imbedwa Yetu Momthia No Mopuo Opo Umone Omaya Kurogenasha Ni Fendera Yompare The Pangero Ano Otex Namra Saving with patience.